and thank you for stopping by the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak, and we are getting closer and closer to Christmas. We're also getting closer and closer to Boba Fett. The Book of Boba Fett is coming out on Disney Plus, and I'm really looking forward to it. I am I'm trying out some new headphones today, and I got a new little piece of equipment that's supposed to help me be able to use headphones with more people, I guess, whenever I have more people over. In the past, I've got this little setup here with one soundboard and one export microphone spot, and it is designed so that I can listen to myself and hear myself and kind of check out volume levels and stuff like that. And in the past, I've done this podcast where I've set it up and then taken the headphones off and talked to people. The problem is, and what I found, I know nobody gives a shit about this, but this is just me giving you some inside baseball. The problem is, when I go to do a podcast with somebody, they have a tendency to get away from the microphone and I can't hear them, or the people write in and say, hey, good interview, but at times they were really far from the microphone. And one of the things that I'm cognizant about is sound quality. I know for a lot of people, they're like, you know, hey, it's about content. It is about content. But also, if it sounds like crap, you're not going to want to listen to it, right? And even right now, I'm playing around with these knobs trying to figure out what I've done different, why it sounds different. I'm not exactly sure why. I'm playing with all kind of little knobs here going, all right, why is it, why do I have this weird pitch to it? Maybe that was it. Maybe I had one of those knobs turned. I've been messing with this thing for a while, probably about 2 hours. So anyway, thank you for stopping by the Stuff I Heard podcast once again. I just got done listening to a really interesting podcast with Bert Kreischer, comedian Bert Kreischer, on the Bertcast interviewing Amanda Knox. Now, Amanda Knox, I knew the name just because of, you know, if you pay any attention to the news, there was a time where Amanda Knox was all over the news, and it was because she apparently was wrongfully prosecuted for murder of her roommate in Italy. And it was a big case. It was a big publicized case. She spent 4 years in prison. It was a very interesting story, very interesting dynamic of what went on. She apparently has been on Rogan and on Whitney Cummings' podcast. Good for you. But I haven't heard any of those. Honestly, you know, time is limited and whatnot, and you have to choose what you want to listen to, and this is one of the ones I listen to. So the interview with Bert is really interesting because he interviews kind of like most of us would, just asking off-the-wall questions that you wouldn't normally think about. And he talks a lot about how the interview with Rogan was really good. And he's like, man, he goes, that was a fantastic interview. That's the interview that I wanted. But he's like, this is not who I am. This is not the kind of interview that I do. But I still found their conversation very compelling. She's a good listener. She has her own podcast. Very interesting lady. I didn't write down the name of the podcast. I heard it. They mentioned it a couple times, but honestly, I was running errands when I listened to it. And like all of us, we're busy. Okay. It's something like Labyrinths or something like that. She mentioned David Bowie in the reason why she named it Labyrinths. Bert said that she does a lot of research on her podcast. So if you're looking for something unlike my podcast, I mean, this is Stuff I Heard. Hers is more stuff I looked up. It's apparently very good. I've heard more than one person talk about it. So go check it out. And I was going to talk about some things that I've seen. And I know that this isn't necessarily everybody's thing, but I'm really into it. I mean, I've spent some time watching a few things, and I kind of want to discuss it. I went to work one day this past week, and I was like, listen, I saw this show on Netflix, and I really want to talk about it. And nobody had seen it. Everybody had kind of seen the little headline thing pop up on, you know, now out on Netflix, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, yeah, okay. And like me, I passed on it when it first came out. I mean, it's been out for a while now. It's the Kevin Hart little show that he did with Wesley Snipes called True Story. I commented on that on this podcast about how I watched the first episode and it gave me anxiety. I was literally sweating on my palms. And I watched this episode and I was really freaked out watching it. It took me a while to get back to it. I want to say it took me a couple of weeks to where I don't know if I just got up the nerve to watch more of it or the timing was right or what. I was in the right headspace, but I was like, okay, I do need to see how this plays out. I mean, I'm kind of curious how it goes. Just from watching the first episode, I thought about it for a long time and I thought, okay, I don't understand where the scenario got off the tracks. I don't understand why I'm so panicked. I mean, I kind of do, but like there's more to the story than they're telling us. And immediately I was suspicious of something and I had a theory and I was like, okay, I'm going to watch this and see if anything else plays out. And so as I watched it, I was really impressed with everybody's acting. I was really impressed with Kevin Hart's acting and with Wesley Snipes. I really don't think that people will put enough eyes on this to give them enough credit for what they've done as a project, but this is really good. Even there's a guy, there's a character on this show called Gene Arbuthnot. Whoever that guy is, man, the acting is just incredible. Yeah, it's impressive. It's an impressive series. There's a crazy couple of twists there towards the end that is jaw dropping. It's a really, really, really good show. It's very dark, very violent. Yeah, it's just a tragedy that turns into more tragedy. And there's a twist at the end that turns everything around in a way that you didn't expect. So anyway, I highly recommend True Story if you're looking for something to kind of amp up your heart rate a bit. I also watched this thing called The Harder They Fall. Now, I'd seen this advertised, again, whenever it came out on Netflix's header, saying, now out. It's a Western, and it's mostly Black actors in it. It's mostly an all-Black ensemble, which is, I mean, nowadays is not such a big thing, but, you know, you figured just 20 years ago, you would never have that. Probably 5 years ago, you'd never have that as a Western. But Jay-Z, Sean Combs, is the one who, I guess, put this together. He's the, I guess, backing of it. And the story is really good. The acting is really good. The cinematography is really good. The way they edited it is really good. There's moments where you're like, golly, this is really, they've done really well putting this together. But there's also moments where it's almost like they sort of wanted to make it a musical. I mean, there's moments where there's a lot of singing and a lot of performance. And of course, being by Jay-Z, obviously he's got a musical influence into the show. And music is a part of our lives in ways that we don't fully talk about or understand. And I'm sure it was in the West. But I liked how the story started with sort of the intro of these people, these may be fictional characters, but these people existed. In other words, the characters that they're portraying were real at the time. It may not have been these exact characters, but these were people that really existed at one time. And not like the namesake, but the type of character that they were. The story is really done well. I mean, it's almost like Quentin Tarantino sat down with them and helped write, or Guillermo del Toro, or you know, one of these genius Western samurai type shows sat down and went, let's make a Western and make it really, really good. I've heard people compare this to The Hateful Eight. There's really good gun battle scenes. There's a lot of violence in this, but not just so that's over top. It's not like The Matrix level violence. But it is, because it's a Western. If you put a young Clint Eastwood in this, you'd go, oh, holy crap, this is good. And this stars Idris Elba and Jonathan Majors. Jonathan Majors right now is getting work in everything. Ever since he did Lovecraft Country, he has just catapulted to the spotlight. I think the only next moves for him is maybe pop up in Harry Potter and Star Wars. He's already in the Marvel Universe. He's Kang the Conqueror. We've already met him in the Loki series. He is, I guess, the lead role in this, even though Idris Elba gets the top billing because he is the most known actor in the series or in the show. Lots of really good actors in this. Regina King is in this. I remembered her from The Big Bang Theory. She was the HR rep. She is in this, and what an interesting role for her to play. I made the joke to my wife as I was watching it. I go, wow. Things really turned around after she left HR. She must have got all that pent up hostility. But yeah. So the beginning of the movie starts off with a scene with a killing of a man and a woman, and this boy is scarred, and it doesn't show you really who the character is, although you kind of get the impression that it turns out to be Idris Elba later that does all of this, and you don't know why until the very end. So the whole movie, I kept going, yeah, but what was the point of showing me that part in the beginning? Why did the guy kill this old man and his wife, and why is this coming full circle? Why did he let the boy live? And at the end, there's a reveal that's a holy crap moment. I mean, it is just a jaw-dropping moment. Yeah. So I'm going to spoil it right now. If you're going to watch it, go watch it. If you aren't going to watch it, I'm just going to give you the big reveal, okay? So Idris Elba plays this guy named Rufus, okay? And he has his own outlaw gang. And Rufus is just easier to say than Idris Elba over and over because I'm dyslexic and it gives my tongue pain. Rufus apparently at the end faces off with his nemesis, or what we're considering to be the good guy in this, Jonathan Majors. He comes down and they're in a face off, and Idris says, like, he's like, you know, go ahead and kill me. He says, you know, he tells a story about how he was a boy and how his father was a drunk and how his father used to beat his mom all the time. And at one point his father beat his mom so bad that he killed her, and he left her left them together. And his character, Rufus's character, grew up hating him and became an outlaw himself, and eventually found his father very late in life, where his father had stopped drinking, had found God, was a preacher, married a young wife, and had a young boy, 10 years old, same age as he was when his dad left. And he said, and I'm just here to tell you that you're my brother. And I made sure that you got to be everything that he hated. You became an outlaw. I got you to rob a bank. And I'm going to get you to do the one thing that I couldn't do, and that's kill my brother. And I was like, holy crap. There's such a weight to that, because Rufus's character is so unlikable for so many reasons. And you know, like, watching the show, you get the impression he is the bad guy. He is totally the bad guy this whole way through. And then we find out about how he was raised with his dad. And then you go, okay, all right. Yeah, I kind of see that. All right. It's that element that makes you think, I see how that character became the other character. I see how he became the bad guy. I see how the evolution of this boy turned into a man with a lot of hate in his heart. And you're watching the main character, Jonathan Majors' character. You're watching him grow up on, you know, right in front of you, from being this guy who used to rob bank robbers. I mean, he would wait till people robbed banks and then he would rob them, because he was like, I'm kind of doing the right thing. I'm not stealing from the bank. I'm stealing from people who stole from the bank. So I guess in a way he thought of himself as like Robin Hood, or maybe just doing the right thing, even though he wasn't necessarily giving to the poor like Robin Hood did. But he had these ethics about what he was going to do and what he wasn't going to do. And he didn't want to kill innocent people. And he made all these rules for himself that he slowly broke a little at a time. And there's even a moment where he gets caught and gets beaten up by his brother. You find out later, not his brother, but the people who kept, you know, worked for him anyway. And he tells him, he says, listen, you know, I need this money and I got your woman. And if you don't come back here with X amount of dollars tomorrow, I'm going to kill her. And he loves the woman, so he's willing to do whatever. But he's like, where am I going to get that kind of money? And he says, you got to go rob the white town. Okay. So in this, most of the actors, like I said, are black. So the towns they go in are either black or they're mixed or whatever. But he goes, you're going to have to go to the white town to get this money. And I'm expecting them to roll into a town where there's like just mostly white people. No. They go into a town where it's all white people. And not only that, all of everything that you see on the screen is painted white. I mean, even the buildings, even the sand is white. It's almost like someone took a picture of the Wild West and just whitewashed everything. super white. It was so funny. The minute I saw it, I started laughing hysterically. It's still funny for me to think about. I sent my buddy Greg some pictures of it. I was telling him about it. I was like, that caught me off guard. I'm watching this Western where everything's getting really serious and getting really heated. And you buy it like, listen, you know, we live in a day where you can watch a movie like this and it doesn't take long for you to forget that you're watching an ethnicity of people do anything. Okay. I mean, Cowboy Bebop, the main character was an Asian fella who is an American actor who is a really good actor. And you don't think about him being Asian one bit. Watching this, if it wasn't for the fact that they call themselves black or call other people white at times, you wouldn't think about them being of color other than the fact of they're in a Western and they're cowboys and there's outlaws and there's guys trying to do the right thing. And there's people that are trying to make their own hustle and trying to make their way in the world. And as a Western, I think they nailed it. I think if anybody watches this, they're going to be like, now that's a Western. I mean, obviously there's some musical parts in it and there's some silly parts, like I said about the white town, that's kind of funny. But other than that, I mean, it's a good Western. There's gunslingers, there's hot hands, there's a woman that runs a saloon, there's betrayal, there's controversy, there's a big bad guy that you got to kill, and it's called The Harder They Fall. There's a train situation where these people have to stop a train and get on the train, and there's a lot of cool scenarios in this. I mean, I literally felt watching it that I was watching a Tarantino movie. This is good. This is a really good movie. So anyway, that was two big hits this week. I really enjoyed both of them. Mo Amar has a new comedy special on Netflix. It was pretty good. I like Mo. Apparently he did a movie with The Rock and he got The Rock to do his intro for the show. And that was pretty cool. They filmed it in Houston. The Rock is pretty funny. And Mo Amar is funny. I've heard him on Burt's podcast before. He's the whole reason I've listened to a lot of comedians is because they've been on Burt's podcast, because they've done comedy together. Mo's great. You know, one of his funniest jokes is he got into comedy right around 9/11. And he's like, his brother told him, "You think that's a good idea, man? You think you can go on stage and make people laugh after 9/11? He goes, "You got a lot of room to talk there, Muhammad. You're a pilot." He's like, "Oh yeah," but he's got a lot of good stuff in it. Yeah. So Mo Amar, Moamer, Mo Amar. Yeah. So anywho, I don't have a lot to talk about, honestly. I just wanted to touch base with everybody and tell you, hey, hope everybody's doing well. I hope everybody is making it okay with Christmas coming. I hope that you're not going broke right now trying to provide for everybody for Christmas. That is a tendency that a lot of people have. It is a hectic time of the year where you have high expectations. And honestly, the biggest thing that people want from you is just to spend time with you. So whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a phone call, if you haven't talked to somebody in a while, reach out to them and tell them, hey, tell them you're thinking about them. If you've got the ability and you're going to have like a meal or something, invite them over for the meal. Not the day of, you know, plan it. Call them and be like, hey, listen, on this day, why don't you guys come over and hang out with us? Who knows? It might make somebody's day. I know that a lot of people out there are having trouble during the holidays. You know, the holidays are a time when some people get very depressed. Just if you're feeling depressed, reach out to a friend, reach out to a family member. If those don't find their way to you, ask a teacher, talk to a teacher, talk to a counselor of some sort. You can always reach out to Kelvin at the New You Counseling Center here in Florence. He'll be happy to talk to you. There's lots of resources online. Just talk to somebody and maybe they can help. So I'm going to wrap this up short. Hope everybody does well and enjoys your holidays. Let's see, date-wise. Yeah, we can do another one before Christmas. Yeah, we'll do one next weekend. Y'all take care. Thanks for listening. And as always, cue the cow.